Okay, the boy said today's daf is daf kuf hey. We're holding roughly 10 lines from the top of the Amud, where the Mishnah, the Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah that we had back on daf kuf gimel Amud Aleph. In the beginning of the Mishnah, we learned that a person who stole chas v'shalom, may ikka the dina, he has to go after the nigzal and return the gzela even until modai, all the way to modai. Said the Mishnah, however, if he had returned all of it and left over only a little bit, if the only thing that's left over is less than a shava pruta, he doesn't have to go all the way to Madai, because less than a shava pruta does not have chashivus, and you don't have to go to Madai. So Zokti Gemara on Daf Kuf Hayam and Aleph Omer Papa Loishanu Elishain Gezeler Kayemis. That's dafka when the gzela is no longer in existence. For instance, he stole money and he used it up, so therefore the gzela is no longer here. Al gzela kayemis, whenever the gzela is still around, even though the value of the gzela is less than a shave pruta, tzarech lelechacher, he does have to go back to Modai. Why? Chayshin and shemet tiyaker. Because although today what is left over is less than a shava pruta, maybe by tomorrow or next week or next month it's going to be worth more than a shava pruta. And therefore, Jokti Gemara, even though it's less than a shava pruta, you got to go and return it. The Mishnah said that you don't have to return. I'm sorry?
Mishas Gezela. We go by returning, we always go Mishas Gezela. So if Mishas Gezela was less than a shava pruta, the pruta should be bought.
You're talking about the din of a person who made a shinui post gzela. For instance, after he stole the object, he stole eitzim and he made from it kalim. He stole tzemer, he made from it begodim. Shinui is kainim. How much does he have to go and pay now to the nigzal? He has to pay kishasa gzela. We're talking about the din that if a person went and stole and then made a false shvua and now he does tshuva, the halacha is Asher hu loy yitnenu biyoy mashmasai. And the Mishnah, the Gemara said, what means Asher hu loy yitnenu biyoy mashmasai? That it's not enough to go and give it to a shliach, to give it to his son, to give it to his eved. You got to give it to the nigzal himself. Even if he went all the way to Mada, he's moved from here to Australia, you have to go after him and go and give him the object that you stole. Dr. Mishnah, that's only if what you stole is worth more than a Shabbat Pruta. If what you stole is less than a Shabbat Pruta, then you can stay home. So Dr. Papa, that's only if you're talking about in a case where the original Gezela is no longer in existence. He stole a quarter of a chocolate bar, which was worth less than a Shabbat Pruta. He ate it up. Then he doesn't have to go to Mother. If that's still a little quarter of a chocolate bar, it's still around, and it's still fresh, and it can still be eaten, then he has to go back to Modai, even though presently it's worth less than a Sheva Pruta. Why? Because over time, maybe it'll be worth more than a Sheva Pruta. So therefore, here we're not talking about paying for Gzela, Mishasa Gzela, earlier or later. We're talking about the object is still in existence. This object is worth now less than a Sheva Pruta, but tomorrow it might be worth more than a Sheva Pruta. Therefore, he has to go and take it all the way back to Mother. That is the first Lashon. But Ikari Amri Amar Papa, Loisha Gzela Kiyamis. Loisha Ein Gzela Kiyamis. It really makes no difference. In the Torah Leilach Achrav, you do not have to go and take this Aveda all the way back to Modai. We're not nervous that it's going to go up in value. In other words, I'm not concerned about this possibility. Mashvin Limar, if in fact it does go up in value, you would have to go and go back to Modai. But as long as it's not worth more than the original Chutzi Pruta, or less than a Sheva Pruta, you don't have to assume or speculate. You don't have to go back to Madai. New shtickel, Omer Rava, Goza Sholish Agudais, Bisholish Prutais. Person stole three bundles. The three bundles together were worth altogether Sholish Prutais. And therefore, the presumption is each Aguda was worth one Pruta. Vahuzlu, Vahamdor Shain. However, the price fluctuated in the marketplace and it went down, and now the three are worth only two Prutais altogether. And what did he do? In Hechselishtayim, if he returned two out of the three, Chayv Lehechselicheres, he has to go return number three. What is Rav's Chiddush? What is he trying to say? he stole three, it was worth three. It went down to two. And he gave back two out of the three agudois. So Krava, he still has to give back the third one. Now how much is the third one worth at this time? Less than a Sheva Prutza. How do I know it's worth less than a Sheva Prutza? Because originally it was worth three altogether. Now it's down to two. So each one of them is worth less than a Sheva Prutza. And our Mishnah says that if it's worth less than a Sheva Prutza, you don't have to go and schlep all the way to Madai. That's because originally, when you stole it, it was worth less than a Sheva Prutza. But if it originally was worth a Sheva Prutza, so automatically this halacha of the Heshev is a Gzela, or the Asher who lo yitnena bashmasai, you have to go and give it to him. This halacha applies, even though it went down in value, because you look at the time that he stole it, at that time it was worth tak a gam to Sheva Prutza, so you have to return it now.
Is this involved a shvur?
But now the question is, why does Rava talk about a case of he stole three agudais that went from three down to two? He could have given a much simpler case. He could have talked about the person stole one aguda, which was worth one pruta, and this one aguda went down in value. Amar Rava, even though it went down in value and now it's worth less than a Sheva Pruta, since originally it was a Sheva Pruta, you have to go and return it. So why do you have to talk about three? It went down to two. Setosis says, Einachanami Avada, Rava could have spoken about a case where one went down to less than a Sheva Pruta. But Rava is telling us two chidushim. Chidush number one is that even though now it's worth less than a Sheva Pruta, since when he stole it, it was worth a Sheva Pruta, the chiyav of a Sheva all the way to Madai still applies. That's halacha number one. Halacha number two. Solkadai Techamin, in this case, he was already Mekayim the mitzvah of Hashava. How was he Mekayim the mitzvah? Because since he took originally three. Of those three, which were worth three prutois, they've gone down to two. So how much is each aguda worth on its own? Two-thirds of a pruta. Two-thirds, 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 three times two-thirds. Adds up to six-thirds. Six-thirds means you have two altogether. So if he gave back two, then those two by definition are worth more than a Sheva Pruta. So this person has already been Mekayim a din of Hashava of returning the Gzela. So Kedai Techamina. Okay, he stole, but he's already given back. What's left over is worth less than a Sheva Pruta. Maybe he doesn't have to go and give this back. Less than a Sheva Pruta. Kamash Malan. That even though he was Mekayim the mitzvah of Hashava, he still has to be Mekayim the rest of the Hashava of returning the third Aguda, even though today it's worth less than a Sheva Prutah. But I only know that Chiddush now, because we're talking about three that went down to two. If I only had one Aguda that went down to one, he didn't give back anything yet. Oh, so had Rava said you have to give it back, you wouldn't have such a big Chiddush. Here you have a Chiddush that even though he's Mekayim the mitzvah of Hashava, because he already gave two back out of the three, he still has a chiyuv to give back number three all the way to Madai because of the fact that it was originally worth a Sheva Pruta. I'm sorry? This is the top choices. If you look at the top choices, Zog der Teisvis, fourth line, Vuadin, that's the last of the wide lines. Vuadin bi achas shegozla. Then you have it in choices. Yeah. Even if you only stole one, who's on one down and die? Shemachzalei good avada, he has to give back the good. Oidemel el rabusa nakat tafilu bishloish and dekiyam mitzvah zashava betas. He was only mekayim the mitzvah. He gave back two, and that was worth more than a sheva pruta. Afilu harchi chayv lachzalei achas avagav. Okay, stop. So therefore, that's the additional chiddush to tell you. Yeah, so good. Gishmak. Back to our Gemara Tuna. So now Rav is saying, and I have a raya from a brisa to what I just said. Gozel chometz. A person stole chometz. Vavul of a Pesach. And now it's already after Yontif. And this chometz now is totally worthless. And in fact, it has a din of Isra Hanor. Oymaloi. Nevertheless, the Gazan can still say to the original Nigzal, Harshal Chalifanecha, I'm returning it to you. Why can he go and say, I'm returning it to you? Tamad Isabaina, because it's still bad. The Heshev's Gzela Asher Gozel is giving to Ein Shagozel. He stole this Gzela, he's giving it back.
But how could he give it back something that he's not allowed? It's Chom Shavu Pesach, and it's also by Noah.
It's also by Noah. In fact, I want it so much, I don't want to have a Noah. I want to get rid of it. I reject it, eject it, deject it, and give it back to the Gzela.
He doesn't own a kid, owned it either.
he's allowed to own it, he just can't have any anah from it. You can go and hang it up on the wall, and each time you see it, it's so repulsive. It's coming off.
Look at it and enjoy it too?
No, enough. If he enjoys it, he's having anah. Although, koymar vareach, ain't by anah, that's a separate story. Anyway, the point is, there's no isser, and there's no din of bayiro, bayimatze. But there is a din of not having anah. So therefore, he can go and give it back. So now the Gemara is medayik. That's because it's still around. It's still in existence. Unless if anyone happens, there's no loan existence. Avagav the hashta lav mamayna. Even though today chometz she'avol of a Pesach would be worthless, given the mekara mamayna hu boy shlume. Since when he originally stole the chometz, he had to go and pay back. He has to continue to have to pay back. He stole a peckle of lakshin. Lakshin means noodles. Good. That peckle of noodles cost $1. Before Pesach, he should have given him back the noodles. But he didn't. It was chamshav for Pesach, and now it's osubana. If it's still around, he can go and hand back the whole package of noodles and say, Yankel, it's yours. I stole noodles. Here's your noodles. Even though it's worthless, azoy zalacha, he can go and return it back. What happens if those noodles are no longer in existence? They were destroyed. Now he has to go and pay him $1. Well, why? If I would still have those noodles, I wouldn't have to go and pay any mumminess. I can go and hand him back the package. And now, because it's destroyed, I have to go and give him $1. So what do we see from this? Even though today those noodles are worthless because they were chomish over Pesach, I've given them mikara mamaynehu, but since originally before Pesach they were worth $1, boishlumi, I have to go and pay back that $1. In our case too, even though today in my case of the three agudois, they're no longer worth three prutois, they're worth only two prutois, and therefore the one that I have left is worth less than a shava pruta, given the card of a shava pruta, since originally it was worth a shava pruta, so I have to go and give it back, meaning I have to go all the way to Matai.
Basically the same as the lakshin.
Same as the lakshin, exactly. Boy Rava, Frank Rava yet no hashay. Gozo shtei agudas bepruta. He stole two agudas which were worth total two agudas, one pruta. That was each one was worth a half a pruta. The Hexel Yachzaban, and he returned one of the two agudas. And he now left with aguda number two, which is worth less than a sheva pruta. Now, what's the locha now about this second aguda? Me and Rinan Hashalek Gzela. Do I say that he has not retained for himself Gzela, even though he does have Gzela, he has that aguda, but that aguda is worth less than a sheva pruta, so therefore it doesn't have the din of Gzela's mamain, because it's not mamain, it's less than a sheva pruta. Therefore, since it's less than Gzela, then I have no chiyuv of returning it. Oy Dilma, holy hodar. Or maybe the answer is that he never returned the original Gzela. Le hodar Gzela de hadi gabay. Because since he originally stole a shava pruta, giving back only a chotzi pruta, he never did a halachic hashava. Halachic hashava is to go and give back a shava pruta. And he only gave back a chotzi pruta. So therefore, does this person at this time now have a chiyav of returning the second aguda? On the one hand, I might say he has no chiyav anymore because what he has left over is no longer worth a shava pruta. So therefore, there's no chiyav hashava, there's no gzela left. Avadav, there is gzela, it's chutzi pruta, but it's not a halachic gzela because it's not worth a shava pruta. So therefore, no dinah shava. Oy duma, no. Since he originally stole the shava pruta, he was never mekayim his mitzvah of hashava because he only gave back a chutzi pruta. Since mekayim his mitzvah, he has a chiyav of giving back the second chutzi pruta to go and give back a full pruta. Hodepashta, after that, Rava came to be poshet his own shaila. Gzela ein kan, hashava ein kan. The amount that is left over for him is less than a shava pruta, so therefore he no longer has gzela in existence halachically in his possession, and a shava enkan, and there is no din of returning. Frey Timara, I don't understand. In the Chayyim, these two are opposites. I gzela enkan, I shava yeshkan. If you're telling me that he no longer has gezel in his possession, so apparently what he's really trying to say is that I gave back the first aguda, that was a satisfactory hashava. How do you go and tell me I no longer have any gzela, but I also do not have hashava? If I don't have gzela in my possession, that means I was makayim the mitzvah hashava l'chayda, because I already gave it back. So what's this gzeil? Ein kan hashav, ein kan. So to mahachi kama, what the Gemara means to say is, afal pish gzeil ein kan. Even though he no longer has a sheer pruta, and therefore he no longer has gzeila in his midst, in his possession, but nevertheless, mitzvah shava enkan, what he has returned so far, he was not mekayim the mitzvah shava, and he has to make sure to give back the second one, even though gzeila enkan, even though it's not worth a sheva pruta, but nevertheless, he has to go and return it, otherwise he has not been mekayim the mitzvah of ha-shava. The Yomer Rav, Zuchyat Rav Avaitim, Hari Yomer. So now, we're going to have two other members of Rava which are similar in terms of construction. They're not similar in halacha, they're similar in construction. We're on Daf Kuf Hayom Aleph.
English.
Okay, so we're talking about Nazir now. Obviously, Nazir has nothing to do with our din here of Ashavas Gzela, but nevertheless, Hari Amru Nazir Shegilach Vashir Shteisaris LeYosef LeKum. As we know, a Nazir at the end of his period of Mesiris, at the end of 30 days, V'Eskalach, he has to go and do a full Gilach. What happens if he took off every single hair on his head, but he left over only two hairs, one over here and one over here, left over two hairs on the head? What's Allah Aliyas Velkum? He was not Yoitza, because Kulo by definition means all of the hairs. If you leave over one, you're Yoitza. That's okay. You leave over one. You leave already two, you're not Yoitza, you're Mitzvah of Giluach. Okay. So in other words, Megalech everything, but he left over two hairs, Aliyas Velkum, he was not Mekayim the Mitzvah. Boy Rava, Giluach Achas, the Nosher Achas Mal. What happens if now he had two hairs left? And now he decides to, I want to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. He goes in Megalech one of them, and by the time he gets to go and be Megalech the other one, unfortunately the other one said, I'm going to wait for this guy to be Megalech me. Forget about it! And the hair, Machta Plata. The second one ran away and fell out on its own. So now,
he left only one.
He left over two. He first left, he had originally 5,000 hairs. Some people have more, some people have less. Okay, but of the 5,000, 4,998, he decimated, he destroyed them, burned them, finished. He left two. Not the kind of Mitzvah Giluach. What he should do now quickly is go and take off the other two, and then he'd be Mekayim. So, what did he do? Well, I'm sorry?
Or the other one is also Mekayim, because one, if he leaves over, is okay.
Yeah, very good. So the Gemara's Havamina is that just like if you leave over two, you're not Mekayim the Mitzvah Giluach, so it sounds like the minimum to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Giluach is to remove two hairs. And he's only removing one hair, because the other hair, made up later, ran away on its own. So the question is, was he now Mekayim the Mitzvah of Giluach, because he only took off one hair? And not both hairs.
The two-haired guy, his status changed to two-haired guy. A different status.
That's the shayla. It's Omer Le Rabach, we did the Ravina. Bikon, yes.
Why is the Gemara using the Lashon Giluach? Because it's an Esau.
Yeah, the reason why, because the Torah says, the Gilach is Roshoi B'yam Terach. The Torah says,
Gilach Roshoi doesn't mean, you know, the beard.
No, we're not talking about the beard. We're talking about the top. The head, you have to go and take it all with a razor, with a tap. Anyway, it's Omer Le Rabach, we did the Ravina. So Rav Achmed Dibta says, I don't understand what the sila is. We're not talking about that he was born with only two hairs, or that before this whole story he only had two hairs. He had a full head of hair. And therefore, initially he took off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4,998, and now he did 4,999. So why shouldn't he even become the mitzvah? He didn't go and just take off two hairs. He took off, or just one hair, he took off thousands of hairs. He didn't do it all together at one time, okay? So who says it has to be at one moment? The fact that he did it separately, first all the hairs, and then left over two, and he took one more, why should he make the mitzvah? So the mice at this point, he only has left one, and that one fell out, so what's the problem? Amalei says, I'll take it. It's the other way around. Not that he first took off 4,998, and then he took of one more, and then the other one made a plaita. But rather, he took a 4998, one made a plaita, and then there's only one hair left. And he took of that one last hair. Mi'amrin, hashim yis halek a shir. At this point, obviously, there is no shir of hair, because there's no hair left at all. Oy dilma ha lav giluachu, or perhaps he was not mekayim the mitzvah of giluach. Why? The meikara hashir shtei saris. Initially, he left over two. He was not mekayim the mitzvah, like Rav said, like also like Rav. V'hashiki giluach, and now when he removed the final here, loy haved beis saris. There weren't two hairs left at the time that he wanted to mekayim that mitzvah. Why not? Because one fell out already previously. He only has one left. One here on its own is not a sheer giluach, and so therefore maybe he was not mekayim that mitzvah. Other passion, then he was poshut. Seir en kan, giluach en kan. There's no here, and there is no mitzvah giluach. Freitimar nachmul. He seir en kan. If there's no here, lechoyer, aren't we saying giluach yeshkan? Then he did an effective job of removing the here, because lechoyer that's what he's saying. Baruch Hashem, there's no here left, so why was mekayim my mitzvah? But he says that giluach en kan. Even though there's no hair left, the mitzvah giluach, he was not mekayim, because initially when he took off the 4998, he left over two, and then when he wanted to go and take off the two, there was only one left at that time, because one already fell out. Oh, one hair, no mitzvah giluach, it's got to be a minimum of two, therefore he was not mekayim his mitzvah after all. The Amrav, yeah.
You already brought his
korbanos.
Whether or not giluach is ma'akiv in bringing korbanos or not, that's a separate shaila. Back in Masechtas Nozir, we talked about those types of inyan. And that's what we shall return. All we want to know is this yid, this Nozir has a din of the gilach as roisha, he has to go and remove all the hairs of the head. Does he get one credit on his balance sheet? Says Rava, he does not, because although there's no hair left, but lamaisa, he did not perform the mitzvah of giluach properly. So he doesn't get that bit. The Amr, Hari Amr, Chavya Shenikva Ustamua. So now again, this is a totally separate sugya. However, because it's also going to talk about this ain't kan, that's why we bring this as well. Chavya Shenikva, you have a Chavya, says Chavya is made out of Cheres. And Kli Cheres is only Metame, Me Aviroi, and not Me Gabai, not from the outside. As opposed to all other kelim that are metame me gabay, which means from the outside, this is only metame me aviroi from the inside. Okay, and if you have a chavis kli cheres that has no hole in it, even though it's, for instance, in an oil hamas, everything inside that kli will be tahar. If yesh tzomet pasal olav, if it's totally sealed from all sides, it's going to remain tahar. However, this chavis unfortunately had a hole in it. So therefore, Tuma can go and enter through that hole. Guess what happened? He didn't want there to be a problem of Tuma. Ustamua Shemarim. And he went and either he did it intentionally or on its own, the sediment at the bottom of the barrel was so hard and so mushy and so whatever, that went and Ustamua, it stopped up the hole, and therefore it was matzil the contents of this barrel. Not only this barrel, Rashi says, so much that the barrel was being used as a machitza or a chatzitza between the first floor and the second floor. Oh, yeah. If it's totally stamua, it's matzal all the possessions in the second floor. It's an effective barrier to not allow the tumma to burst through from the bottom to the top. Boy, Rava. So Rava asks now a shayla. What about agav chetzimah? Originally it was like a hole, and instead of the shmorim stopping up the entire hole, he went and agaf means he took clay and he went and covered over half of the hole, not the full hole, the half of the hole. That's agaf. Why didn't he go and use shmarim? The shmarim is the type of thing that if you only fill up half of the hole, they would eventually dissolve and fall away. So therefore he put up clay, a cement, but he only cemented half of the hole, the other half remains open. Now, what's the halacha now? What is the shear of a hole for purposes of our Gemara of Tumah v'Tahara? So Rashi says, not Rashi, but Tosafos says that the shear is allowing the koinis mashke. How, whether or not this hole is large enough that water or mashke can get in. Koinis mashke is a little bit larger than if it's yoytze mashke. Meaning, if you have any type of kli and has even a very, very, very small hole, it can allow for a leak, and something can leak. What happens, however, let's assume that that kli that has that small little hole, it was totally empty, but you went and put it, now you submerged it halfway into a bathtub. Will, when there's water in the bathtub, will water get through that hole? If it's so small that it's just a little bit of a leak, then typically water will not come in, only water will go out. If it's a little bit larger hole, then water can come in as well. So that's the concept of having a hole, kikoines mashke. For our purpose over here, that's the size of the hole. So what did this person do? Instead of filling up the entire koines mashke hole, he only covered over half of the hole. So now, what's the shayla? The shayla is, since it's no longer the size, kikoines mashke, maybe this is considered to be an sufficient seal and effect, not, it's not effective physically, it's effective halachically, to be deemed to be, it shouldn't be mekabel tumah. Or maybe no, the answer is, if it was originally a hole that was large enough that would allow tumah to seep in, the only way to go and save the situation is to go and stop up and to put clay on the entire hole. And those vishayla, this half a hole, does it work or does it not? If you had a chavis that had a hole, and you had the shmorim, the sediment went and stopped up the entire hole, it's a look like we had before. When happens pakka bizmoira, instead of the shmorim filling up the hole, rather pakka bizmoira took his moira. Moira means like a branch. Presumably, it's not talking about a hard branch, but a soft branch from a vine, or for instance from a vineyard, and he put that in. Achimarach. What he has to do, it's not enough just to go and stick in this vine, he has to go and make maricha. Maricha, he has to smear it with cement from all sides. What happens if he put in, he stuck into this little hole, two zmoiras? Achimarach minat zedodim, ubein zmoir lechabet. You have to smear it from this side, from that side, to the middle, so that it should all hold nicely in place. So, Gemara, what do we see from that Mishnah? Tam and the Marach. It's dafke because he smeared it. Holy Marach, what happens if he didn't smear it with any cement? Then, lie, it doesn't work. Amai. After all, if the person put in one Zmoira, two Zmoiras, but to have a Ki'agav Chetzi, why don't you go and say it's as if he filled up half of the hole with clay? And therefore, be Poishadar Shaila, that's not enough. He got to be Mamareach, Kulof, and Alazai. Every more Ami, Hachi Hashta. How can you compare? What's your shayla? Hazami loy morach loy koi loy koi. If you're going to go and stick in this zmoira, that is a very good temporary measure, which will last you maybe for a minute or two or 5 minutes, but it's not going to stay there permanently, because after all, it's just there in a provisorish, just in a temporary fashion. So if you're not going to shmir it, loy koi is not going to stay in place. Agav chetzio, the meat of the koi koi. If you're going to put on clay on half of it, even though that doesn't help for the other half, but that half is going to remain in place for the foreseeable future, because clay or cement is nice, strong, and it'll be an effective sealant for half of the hole. The question is that enough or not enough? And that was the shayla that the Gemara asked, and the Gemara was not able to be poshted it from the case of that Mishnah, because Agav Chetzia is better than a Zmoira of Chetzia. The Amara. Hari Amru, Gozel Chametz v'Ovel of a Pesach. Person stole Chametz, and now Pesach is over. Like we've learned a number of times. Boy Rovas, bring your Torah as Asher. Nishba Olav Mahu. What happens if he now makes a Shvua after Pesach, where the Nigzal comes to the Gazan and says to the Gazan, you stole my package of noodles. And he says, night, Sinisht Emes, I didn't steal anybody's noodles. Are you willing to make a shvua? Yes, I make a shvua that I did not steal your noodles. And ultimately afterwards, he was moida that he did steal the noodles. The question is, does he have to go and pay now the choymish? Does he have to bring a carbon asham? Mao. So what's the shayla? After all, he made a false shvua about a gzela, so it should be like every time in the Torah. Me, I'm going to keep the ing mignav boi shlumi lei, mamoina kakof alei. I do mahash the bias. The Gemara's question is, when a person makes a shmur to be koifer in gezela, does this gezela have to have value at this moment as we speak, or is it enough if it has a potential future value? This box of noodles after Pesach is worthless. The fact that he's koifer now in something which is worthless, I don't have to pay Karen or Choymish or bring Karmen Hashem because I haven't been Koifer in Mammonis. There's no Mammon over here. It doesn't exist. It's worthless. On the other hand, if somebody were to go and take this bottle, this bag of noodles, and totally destroy it, then there'd be nothing left. I would have to give back the equivalent of a box of noodles. I have to go and pay him back a dollar. So there is that potential mamon in the future. Not yet.
Explain that last thought again. Presently, after Pesach, it's Chomesh Chavah Pesach, it's worthless.
Right.
So now what happened, you're saying, is...
There was a fire in the house, Rachman Litzlan, okay, with no arson, but unfortunately somebody went, there was a short circuit. The whole house burned down. After the whole house burned down, together with all of the other things that burned, that nebuch, that container of noodles, also burnt. Are there any noodles left now?
No.
Can he go and say, Ashul Chol Fanecha, here's the back box of noodles? The Gemara is going to talk later on about Dabar Gari L'mamon K'mamon Dami. But the Gemara wants to know now is, the person is going to make a Shvua when this box of noodles still is physically in existence after Pesach.
Because it has that one utility that it can satisfy the Arei Shal Chol Fanecha.
Right.
He has some value.
Exactly. And that question is that...
future value, I say.
And that's the question is whether or not that's enough of a value for a person to have to go and pay to have all the dinim of the Hashem Gzeilois, Karen Choymish and Karben Asher. Is Mal Noch top line. Me amri kiven the imignav boy shlumi lei mamoina. I'm sorry. Kiven the imignav. If this box of noodles were to be, instead of burned, if it was stolen, a goy comes and steals that box of noodles, and he doesn't realize that it's awesome bad enough, or even if he does realize, he doesn't care. Kiven the imignav boy shlumi lei. He has to go, and now the gazlan has to pay money to the nigzal. So moina kofalei. So there was a kafiras mamoina. Not a present kfiras mamon, a potential future kfiras mamon. Don't look at what's going to be in the future. Look at what the situation is now. Now hamanach, this container of noodles here is standing right in front of you. You're focusing on it. You're looking at it. The avar ba'almuin has no value. It's like offer. He wasn't kofer for any mamon when he denied it. This thing is worthless. He is denying worthless property. I'm sorry, that's the Gemara Shaila. So the Gemara Shaila is a very simple one. When you're doing a kfiras mamon, does it have to be present value of money or futures? This noodle futures, what are this noodle futures? In case somebody steals it or gets destroyed, then he's going to have to go and pay actual real mamonis. So therefore he's being koifer in that future potential mamon.
That should be independent of the Ashim. The Ashim is so that he could do teshuva.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kapara.
The kapara is for making a false shvua of kfiras mamon. He made a false oath in which he denied having stolen somebody else's mamonis. So if there was no mamonis, he didn't steal anything. It's worthless. However, if he makes a kfira about something which has value, then he is making a kfiras mamon.
Why
it has no present value, but has a future value. Yeah.
Why should he be hired to pay? Because if I had this comments in my possession at a Pesach, I could have sold it,
mm-hmm,
received money for it.
Right.
The fact that he stole it away and he didn't sell it,
right,
because he had lost. He should pay for it.
You're saying he should have to pay?
It cost me a direct loss.
Yeah.
I could have sold it.
Yeah. Me too. We had this back in the Mishnah before, that the halacha is that a person who stole chametz and overlove a Pesach, he can go and say Ashul Chola Fanecha. He's allowed to go and return it. Hazoy v'sishtaiten gait. What's the reason why? The Gemara darshan, because it says Ken Shagazal. They should say like Asher Gozal, Ken Shagazal Yasser. As long as it's still in existence and that's what he stole, he can give it back, even though today it's worthless. However, if in fact it was destroyed in between, got lost, it was stolen, and at that point he would have to go and pay him money, the value of the original chametz when he stole it. So getting back to Agamor, now Agamor wants to know if he made such a false shvua, but there was no kfiras mamon of present, but he was kfiras mamon of the potential future. Does he have the din of bringing the karm asham and giving the chaynish? But this shayla that Rav Ataka was dealing with, which we're dealing with, Rabbas at the Bayema Dava Pashat. What was the case of Rabbi? The Yama Rabbah. Shuri Ganafta. Reuven says to Shimon, you stole my shor. And he says, no, Loi Ganafti. I didn't steal it. Aye, the shore is right there. Don't you see it? It's in your corral. It's in your chotzer. Mati Vetzlach, what is he doing with it? Oh, I didn't steal it. Don't you remember? Shem Mechinim Ani Olav. He gave it to me. So I should be the Shem Mechinim that I should go. Why? I didn't steal it. It's your shore. I'm not denying it's your shore. It's yours. However, I'm a Shem Mechinim Olav. Chayiv. In such a case, if he were now to go and make a shvua that he didn't steal it, but he receives it as a Shem Mechinim, he would have to go and pay, give him back not only the shor, he admits the shor belongs to him, he'd also have to go and give a chaymish, and he'd also have to bring a carbon asher. Why? Because he's patterning himself in Gneiva Aveda. What does the Gemara mean to say? L'choira, since the shor is here, and since he's not being koifer that it belongs to Reuven, it's yours. I'm not denying it's yours. I'm just denying that I stole it from you. The Gemara quotes it later on. He's moide be'ikr. He's moide on the essentials. The essentials are, Reuven, you say it's your shor? It's your shor. But don't say I stole it. You gave it to me as a shor. Okay, and he makes a shmuel on that. What is his status? So our Gemara tells us, says Rabbah, in such a case, he still has to go and bring a korban asham gezeilus. The Gemara is going to ask in a moment, why, after all the shor is here, he's prepared to go and give it back to him.
What gezeilus is there?
Exactly, what is the gezeilus part in which he is being koifer? He's not the chayav being koifer in anything, in terms of mominus. He's koifer on whether it was maisa gezeilus, shmira, but the maisa is not being koifer in mominus. Why does Rabbah say that he's chayav? Because he does pater himself. How does he pater himself? What would happen if, after he makes a shvua sheker, that he didn't steal it, but it's a shem, I'm a shem echinim, and the nigzel says, okay, as long as you're willing to accept upon yourself that it's my shor, hold on to it for another day, and I'll pick it up tomorrow. This way I get free parking, I don't have to worry about my shor, you'll hold on to it for a day. Okay, guess what happens that day? It was stolen, neva veda. By the fact that this person says that I'm a Shem Echinim, what did is a Shem Echinim chayav b'gnei v'aveda?
No,
he's part of b'gnei v'aveda. Oh, by making this shvua, if now we're going to be required him to go and make a shvua sashamim, I already made a shvua that I'm a Shem Echinim. Okay, and therefore there was no, if there were a gnei v'aveda, Edom come and say we saw there was a ganav who stole it, or that it got lost, what would be the din? He would be potter. So therefore, by making the shvua, he has been choifer in mamonis. He's got a monetary benefit. What's his monetary benefit? That as a result, were in the future there to be a gnev aveda, he would be hot. Same thing is, he didn't say I'm a shem mechanim. He said shem esorcha ani olav. He would still be chayiv to bring his korban asham gezelois. I, the bema, his old is here. He's prepared to give it back. However, were he to hold on to it, Shari Potter asked me Shura Mesa. He's pattering himself from Onsim. Hashem Mesachar is Potter Ba'inus. So therefore, as a result of making this Shvua, he is now giving himself an exemption were there to be an Oinus. There's no Oinus now. But were there to be an Oinus tomorrow or next week, he would be Potter. So again, he has a financial benefit from making
insurance
that
policy.
And almost like an insurance policy. When Amdavi says, Shoylani Olav, he's also Chayiv. I, a shoyl is chayiv ba'atzim, shoyl potatzim in mesem machas malacha. A shoyl, although typically is chayiv in everything, mesem machas malacha is potter, because the Gemara says that the shoyl could say, chi b'chiltza ni tzarech, do you think I borrowed this shoyl from you to go and put it up in a cage, to put in my barn? I borrowed it from you to go and use. And I used it, and guess what happened? In the middle of the threshing, in the middle of the plowing, the behemoth collapsed. It's not my fault. Sorry, I'm going to put you in that. Yeah,
is it this? Isn't there a tour of Mesim Achmuzlach Balavimo?
That's separate. There's nothing to do with that. That's a separate.
He could, I mean,
that's another tour. There's a tour of Balavimo, but there's also a tour of Mesim Achmuzlach. Anyway, Jokti Yimara, Alma, what do I see from all of this? Avogav the Hakoim. I see according to Rabbah. Rabbah is the one that said this memra. Even though the behemoth is standing here and it's alive and kicking, maybe it's not kicking, but at least it's alive and it's standing right in front of us. Kiven the imigna, were it to be stolen in the case of the Shem Echinim, Mamoyne Kakofar, as a result of his Shavua, he's being koifer in his requirement to go and give back the shot. He stole the shor, he has to give it back. If he's not a Shem Echinim, there's no Ptur of Gnei Vaveda. By making this false Shvua, he is making himself into a Shem Echinim, and now he's being koifer for the possibility of the future of having to go, one second please, of having to go and pay money were this to be stolen or were it to be lost. So therefore, Hashtanami, Mamoyne Kekofar, it's deemed to be as if he's koifer Mammon presently, Hachanami, in our case, the case of Rabbi Shaila, Avagav the Avagav the Amo, even though the Chometz now is worthless, give the Mignif, were it to be stolen, Boy Shlumele, Mamoini would have to go and, Boy Shlumele, he would have to go and pay, Mamoini Ma'alia, Boy Shlumele, Mamoini Ma'alia would have to go and pay, good, strong cash, Hashnam Mamoini Kakofale, and therefore that's why the Gemara says that Rabbi Shaila, by Amos Takini Boy, but Rabbi held as a double poshet that Avad that he's chayiv that is considered to be kfiras mamain, even though now presently there is no kfira mamain, but there will be a kfira mamain for later. Yeah.
When on Monday Ruvain has said, "Hey, what's my axe doing in your yard?" Mm-hmm. On Thursday they go to Beis Din and Shimon makes a shua,
okay?
And he says, "I'm a shomachinim."
Right.
And then in the future, now the future moment is Friday morning, Erev Shabbos, the animal dies. Is a shomachinim, or he's stolen.
Okay. Any one of those things.
As of Thursday, he was legitimate shomachinim because the fact that Ruvain left the shore and Shimon's reshus after the shua basically does give him that right of the shomachinim, does give him that patur. What if he makes a shua? And he says, "I'm shomachinim," and he's leaving it there. He's accepting. Yes, you're a shomachinim. In your example, you say, "Okay, keep it for me another day." All right, they keep it me for another day.
If we take out, they keep it. Then we're okay.
What?
If we take out,
but how does it work? How does it work? I mean, if he says shomachinim, he's a shomachinim. What is it?
Maybe
there?
By the time they finish coming out of Beis Din, the animal, as you said, died. Is certainly potter, or it's stolen, or it gets lost. Anyway, the point is that before he went and took possession of it, it is the theoretical possibility that as a result of his shvua, he will benefit, that he won't have to be paying if it was Gneva, Baved, the Oinsen, Meitzer, all the other wonderful things. Therefore, that's enough for Kvirus Mammon, even though presently it has no Kvirus Mammon, but has that potential future to be Kvirus Mammon. That's enough for purposes of our Hashem Gzeves.
And the Chumash also? Is a Chumash?
Yeah, the Gemara doesn't distinguish, so apparently the Chumash as well. So it appears. Is Yosef Rav Kamalosh Meitzer? Rabbi is now repeating it, the Shade Rabbi, and the Sai says Rabbi is repeating this concept of Shtikol Teira. It's Eisrei Rav Amram Rabbi. I have a Braisa which is directly on point, which says just the opposite. If you say before Rabbi, you have to also say Rabbi.
Yeah.
According to the Bach, it's Rabbi in both places. Good. Anyway, so Eisrei Rav Amram Rabbi. Mechichishba. Shteitach and Pasik Mechichishba. What's the Lashon of Pasik? Oimotza Aveda Mechichishba V'nishba Al Shoker Al Achaz Mikol HaShiyase Ha'odam Lachta Behena. Okay, so it says the Lashon of Mechichishba. So what is that Mechichishba? Prat Lemoide Be'ikah. This comes to exclude someone that agrees in essence on the key major points, and he only disagrees with his Shvua on other points. In other words, similar to what we had a moment ago, where he said, Avadat Siyoz Ruvain. I'm not denying that this shah belongs to you. I know it belongs to you. What is it doing in my corral? I'm a Shemachinim, I'm a Shemesachar, I'm a Shoyel, etc. So that's what's called a Moide Be'ikr, that he's Moide in essence. It's not mine. It belongs to you. I just argue on the details. What are the details? It wasn't Gezeila. It was Al-Shayn. Now that's going to be among the cases of the Brice. The Brice is going to enumerate about 7 or 8 cases. The first few cases are not of the same genre, but the final cases are like the cases we just spoke about. The Gemara is going to ask on the first few cases why are these considered to be Moide Be'ikar. So stay tuned for the Gemara a little bit later. So Frank Gemara Ketzet, give me examples of Prat L'Moide Be'ikar. Now Prat L'Moide Be'ikar means that in such a case you would not have a din of Hashem Gzeles. It's a case. Give me examples. Show you the Ganavta. V'loy Maloy Ganavti. Reuben says, "Hey, you stole my shore. I didn't steal your shore. So Mati Vetzlecha, what's it? Look, the shore is there. Why'd you steal it? I didn't steal it. So what's it doing with you? At Bechartali. You sold it to me. At Netatali Matana. You gave it to me as a present. Now, L'choyer, this is not a Moide Be'ikar, because he's saying, this belongs to me. It doesn't belong to you. Yeah, okay, I didn't steal it. But you sold it to me. Ablamaisi is denying that it belongs to Reuven. He says, you give it to me as a present. He's denying. So Gemara is going to ask in a few lines, that's not a Moide Be'ikar, that's Koyfen Be'ikar. We're going to talk about that shortly. Anyway, continuing on. Avicham Harli, your father sold it to me. Avicham son of Matana, your father gave it to me as a present. Okay, so all those cases the Gemara is going to ask. Now, Acha Parasi Rots Me'elav. I'm sorry, Acha Parasi Rots Me'elav Bo'etzli. In other words, I didn't go and steal it. This shore of yours, saw my para, maybe it had some romantic intentions, and therefore followed my para home. It's not my fault. I didn't ask the shar to come over here. He asked him, are you sure? Of course I'm sure. The shar is standing right over here. The shar went and followed the para, Ratzim Eilab, but Etzli came to me. It wasn't my fault. Toya b'derech matzosif. Or he says, I didn't steal it, but rather, I saw toya b'derech. It's an aveda, of course, and it's got to be returned. It belongs to you. It's not mine. I got to give it back. Okay, so now these are the key cases that we had before of Rabba, which the Bryson now says, Shemachinamani olav, Shemesachani olav, Shoyani olav, Vinishba, and he makes a shuva of a hoide, and afterwards he's moide misvari, he does tshuva. I would think that this person should have to have the parsha of the Hashem. Gzeilis, Tambaloyim of Chichishba, Prat, the moide beikar, no din of Hashem Gzeilis. Reikti Gemara yet. How did Rabba say over the shtikal Torah that we had before in the Gemara? That Shari Ganav, that he says, Shemachinam, Moshe Mesach, and Shemen Shoyel, is Chayim, because of the futures. We see clearly from this price that there's no din of futures. That is Potur. So Rabba was a little bit upset. I'm like, Tudura. Actually says, Tudura means that ain't left. In other words, you're not thinking this through. What are you not thinking through? Tanya, Hahi, Tukom Le Helach. What Rabbi is saying is a very, very simple distinction between his halacha and the halacha of the Braisa. It depends where is the Bahaima. Is the Bahaima out in yonder, somewhere out in the Agam, in the swamps, or is the Bahaima right over here? The Braisa is talking about the Bahaima is right here, and the Gazlan or the Ganav says, here, I'm giving it to you right now. I was never a Gazan. I never stole it from you. How did I get it? I was a Shemachinim. You gave it to me. Don't you remember? I see you're starting to have your senior moments. That's a favorite term that people like to use. I see you have your senior moments. Don't you remember? A week ago you gave it to me. I'm a Shemachinim. Or I'm a Shemachar. Or I'm a Shem. But I'm giving it to you right now. That's the case of the Bryce. The case of Rabbi that we had before is talking about these in the Agam. He says, yeah, I'm prepared to give it back to you, but I don't have it here. We have to go and travel to the Agam. Maybe it's a day to get there, and I'll give it to you at that time. What's the difference between if it's here or it's over there? Or no difference. No, on a very practical level. The whole reason why Rabbi said in his halacha that he is chayiv because of kfiras, potential future moment is, that's if he's going to continue being a Shemachinim, Shemasach, or Shoyel for any period of time. Whether it's a limited period of time or an extended period of time, but for any period of time. However, here he's saying, it's yours, I'm giving it to you. He makes the Shvua, he's Moida, and now he gives it to him. It's yours, take it. So from now on, he's no longer going to be a Shemachinim, Shemasach, or Shoyel. If the animal were to go and be stolen, or gets lost, or collapses, or dies, or whatever, it's no longer my rishus. I give it back to you already. So there is no benefit on futures as a result of this statement that I'm a Shemachinim, Shemesachar, because he's giving it right back to him, and he won't have that future possible kafiras. The case, however, of Rabbi is talking about that he's still holding on to it. Not that he's not prepared to give back. He says, belongs to you. Why am I not giving it back to you immediately? Because it's not here. It's in the Agam, as the Gemara just said. Okay. So that's a very good answer. No kasha rab. But let's go back to the beginning of the price. The price is at the machar tali. You sold it to me. My moide beikar ikar. There's no moide beikar over here. He's saying it's mine. It's not yours. It was like tzricha li'omel l'nosati l'cho domei. I didn't pay for it yet. I bought it from you. You gave me it on credit, and I never paid for it. Shakal turach zizil. Here, heilach. Instead of my paying for it, go and take back your shor. It's yours. Ah, so that's what he means that he is moide be'ikar, that he's not holding it back based on this taina that you sold it to me, because he agrees, you sold it but I never paid, take it back. Or after the satali, you gave it to me as a present, or being a satali, nosali, you gave it to me as a present. So my moide be'ikar ikar, afterwards he's saying it's mine. The Omri says to them, the Omalei, Amanas Adin Lecha Naich Nafsh, Tlai Avdilach, Shakaturach Vizil. What he tells them is, I know what you're saying to yourself. You're saying you gave it to me a present. People don't give presents for nothing. The reason why people give presents is basically because either the person did a favor, or they're hoping the person will do a favor. Do we go and get presents? Tamazoi. You give presents for a reason. So he's saying, I know the reason why your father gave it to me, or why you gave it to me, because you were expecting me to go and afterwards intercede with the governor to get you a job or whatever. And I didn't do that. And therefore, I reneged on the favor that you assumed that I was going to do, and therefore, go and take it back. So therefore, even though initially he said he gave it to as a present, but I agree that the present had an implicit stipulation attached to it, I never performed that stipulation. Take it back. Hey, look. And therefore, Vada Vaiter, he's Moide Be'ikr, that it belongs to you, by giving it right back to him at this moment. But it says right in the Brayta Torah, "B'derech Matzosif, Leimi Boilecholad Hurili." He should have gone and told them, "What were you holding on to it for? If you were acknowledging that it was Torah B'derech, you should have returned it to me." It's this week's Sedra, Hashem Teshivim. You have to go and return it. Leisucha Lisalim. You're not allowed to ignore. You have to give it back. I'm making a shvua. I know for sure that this was lost, because I saw it walking on the street here on West End Avenue. I saw a big shor or a chamar or whatever. There are a lot of two-legged shor and chamars, but there are very few four-legged shor and chamars walking down the street. And I found this. I was going to give it back to you, but I didn't know who it belonged to. There was no simon on it. A shor and a chamar, to me, they all look the same. I know I'm a bigot. They all look the same to me, but it's deplorable. What can you do? But lamaisa, the fact that it remains that they all look the same, I didn't know it was yours. Now that you tell me it's yours, Abad, I'll be happy to give it back to you. Anyway, so all these cases, the Moide Baker is saying, it doesn't belong to me. The reason I'm holding on to it is because of the various circumstances that we spoke about. Okay, so until now we were focusing on Hashem Gzeilois. Now we're going to go off on a tangent for a moment to what's called the din of a Chatas Oile V'Yoyed. Chatas Oile V'Yoyed, as you all know, means that on three particular aveiros, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in the Heilige Torah that you don't just go and bring a chatas kavua. A normal chatas kavua is, what is the chatas kavua? A kizba or seira. But that's number one. And number two, it happens to be a kohen gudol, or it happens to be a melech. Fine, good. Sibur. But now we're talking about a case of a chatas oil of the earth. Chatas oil of the earth is only for three cases. What are the three cases? Tumas Mikdash Rashi is number one. Shvuas Bitui. And number three is Shvuas Eidus. What means Shvuas Eidus? Shvuas Eidus means you go over to the person and tell him, Yanko, I want you to go and say Eidus for me. Don't you remember you saw the Halva, you saw the Gzela, you saw something. And Yanko says, I'm sorry, I didn't see anything, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean you're talking about? You were there, I saw you, you were there. No, it's not true. Make a shmua that you weren't there. I solemnly make a shmua that I didn't see anything, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't see the Alba, I didn't see the Gzela. And it turns out, of course, that the thing was false. What happens after that? He has to go and bring the Korban Chatas Oile B'Yoyed. And B'Yoyed means, depending on his means, if he's a wealthy or whether he's a poor individual. Anyway, so Ben Azai tells us, Tanya Omer Ben Azai, Gimu Shvuasai. There are three types of Shvuas. Now, when Ben Azai says three types, he doesn't mean that they're three separate halachas. He just means that we can have the same type of Shvuas Eidus and make three different illustrations of what we're talking about. Now, the reason why we're bringing this Gemara, as we'll see shortly, and as Rashi points out, we're talking about that he only went over to one individual, Yankel, not to Yankel and Bechel. Means there was only one aid, you didn't have two aid. If you have two aid, and both of them are making a shvur that they didn't see anything, then avada afterwards, if it turns out that they were testifying falsely, then of course they have to go and bring the chatz oil of the yoyed, because they caused real monetary damage to this person by not saying aidus. However, when you only have one aid, that already becomes kind of in a gray area. Why is it in a gray area? Because what can one aid be mechayev?
Shvur.
Whenever that person does not want to make the shvur, then he's going to have to go and pay. On the other hand, what happens if that other guy is willing to make a false shvur? Then he's not going to go and pay. So the fact that this one aid is denying that he knows testimony, there's a 50-50 chance that he might cause financial damage to the other guy. What's the 50-50? Because were he to testify, 50-50 could be the other guy will make a full shvuah and he wouldn't pay anyway. So his lack of testimony is not causing any financial damage. On the other hand, no, but the other guy is erlich. He's an erlich and gazlan. He's not going to go and make a false shvuah. And therefore, exactly. And therefore, what's he going to do about it? He's going to go and pay. So I'm causing financial damage. That's what Gemara is going to say shortly. That's the famous sugya in Shas, dover hagoyrim lemomin kimomin domi or not. The absence of his testimony could have caused the other person to pay or might not. Anyway, we'll talk about that shortly. So Ben Azai says, we have three different illustrations of a shvuah. What were the three illustrations? And all of them are talking about an aveda that was lost. And now Reuven goes to Shimon and says, you saw this my shor walking down the street. And you saw Shimon taking that shor for himself. Go and say Eidus, because I want to get this shor back from Shimon. You saw it, you saw that it was lost. And you saw that Shimon was the one that found it, and he took it for himself. And he didn't, it wasn't the kind of Nitzah Hashem to Shibain. He wasn't, he was over the dinner of Lesicha Lesalim. I want you to go and say Eidus. Okay, so what happens? Tani, Umar Ben Azai, give me Shavuah saying, Hikibah V'loi V'moitza. The person says, I make a Shavuah. Hikibah, I taka saw this animal roaming around. V'loi V'moitza, however, I didn't know who the guy that was that found it. What do you mean you don't know where the guy was found it? So Rashi says, L'mashal, he says, I saw your lost animal. I saw it roaming around across the street on 91st Street, there in the person's chotzer, in his courtyard, but I don't know who the courtyard belongs to. And so therefore, I didn't know who the motze of this shore was. But I recognized that it was stolen, not stolen, that it was lost, but I didn't recognize the person that found it. Or he says, V'motze, I recognize that someone found the shor, but I didn't know it was your shor. Yeah, I saw a person find it. I didn't know whose lost shor it was. I saw Yankel walking down the street, Shimon walking down the street, he found the shor. Yeah, yeah, but I didn't know who the shor is. I didn't know about the fact that this shor was lost, and I didn't know about the fact that someone went and found it. See, any one of these shvuas that he is making, he's denying knowledge for purposes of making the for purposes of saying Eidus and Bezdin about this lost animal, that Shimon found it and that he should have given it back, and he's not going and sending any Eidus. Now, in the third case, the Gemara says that the lashon of the of Ben Azai is not precise. He's saying loy ba v'loy b'moitza. If he's saying a shvuah that I didn't know about that it was lost, and I didn't know that he was the one that found it. L'chayra, he could be saying emes. So in other words, he's denying both. Not that he's not denying either one, but in his shmuel, he's saying, I didn't know about the animal, and I didn't know about the moitza. So, what's the purpose of Ben Azai collecting together these three shmuels and saying, oh, the famous halach of the three shmuels? Could be that this is a borrowed lashon, because as you know, at the end of Maseches Ksuvos, there are the famous three shvuas about not going up a choyma, not going against the goyim b'koyach to go and retake Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, so it could be that's a borrowed lashon from there. But the point is that Ben Azai says, I have these three shvuas. Freitim olam ayilchasa. What's the nafkivina? Rabbi Yom Rav Chanina, liftar ushmul amar lechiyav. What Ben Azai was saying was either than all of these three cases, the guy is potter, or than all of these three cases, the guy is chayiv on bringing his chatas oylev yoyed, if afterwards we have edim or he's moide, that he was the one that in fact, that he said false shvuah, because in fact he did no testimony after all. Uveplukted dahani tonight. And the machloikis between Rav Chanina and Shmuel as to what Ben Azai meant is machloikis. And I'm just saying, Hamashbiya Eid Echad. Anytime you cause one Eid to make a Shmuel, Zok to Tanakama. Potter, Rav Shimon is Machayib. He says, you're Chayib. But my commitment, what's machloikis? My son, the Rav Mammon, Kim Mammon, Dami, my son, the Rav Mammon, Lav, Kim Mammon, Dami. So we already explained this at the outset of Ben Azai, that why is this a Dabra Gorim Lamamim? Because any testimony by definition is only Dabra Gorim Lamamim. He's not himself handing over, taking, giving, whatever. It's not a miyad liyad situation. It's his testimony. However, when you have two Eidim, the assumption is that that's not just a davar gorim lamamim. Since the Torah says, apish naim, Eidim yokim, or shloish Eidim yokim davar, the bezin will pass him. So if you refuse to go and say testimony, you have caused real financial damage. However, if you only have one aid, since there's speculation where the other person's going to pay, the other person's going to swear falsely, that's why you have a machloik, is whether or not he would have to, whether he did cause financial damage, and that's why, depending on whether you hold like the Tanakam or Blazer of Shimon, or these two Amiroim, Rav Chanina and Shmuel, did Ben Azi mean to go and say you're chayiv, echatas oil of the yard, or do you mean to say you're potter, chatas oil of the yard? Final halacha of today, Amar Rav Sheshes, ha-koyiv b'bikodin, a person who denied a bikodin, meaning a person who owns an object, gave this object to Yankel to hold as a shomer, he's going to be shomer pikodik, and now he's koyif. He says, "Not true. You didn't give it to me." Either he says, "I don't know what you're talking about. I have no pikodin," or the pikodin is there, and he says, "It's mine. You never gave it to me. The third is pikodin. It's mine." What happens at this point? And we're talking about the choira without a shvua, no shvua about. However, there are edim that this fellow is lying, and in fact, this pikodin belongs not to him, but to the person who says it's my pikodin. Nasal of Gazan, he now automatically has been transformed from a shomer into a gazlan. Originally he was a mashal a shomer chinam, but now that he's denying that he was a shomer chinam, he becomes a gazlan. And therefore, even if there were to be an oynas, he is chay, because he's now been upgraded from a regular shomer chinam shomer sachar to not only a shoyer, but he's a chay b'alamin onsim, because of the fact that he is a gazlan as a result of his kfir.
Why is it a ganef? He didn't come to him and grab it. Everything was going through a routine. A gazel, the guy comes and grabs, you know, against your will.
Yeah.
But here you have a transaction.
Not so love. He doesn't mean a real gazel. He's a kid gazel. He has a status like a gazel. It doesn't mean a physical gazel. You're right. Physical gazel means he does it in public. Takes it. Yeah. So you're saying you should say a ganef instead of a gazel.
Excuse me. It's not that. Why are we saying he's a shoel? A chayv onsin sounds like a shoel. A shoel is the Torah's heter. A shoel is getting something legitimately. If someone's denying it, he has to return the gazela asher gazel. Why are we saying chayv ba'onsin? I mean, it's part of the mesa machmas malacha. I mean, if the language sounds lenient, that he's punter in some level like a shoel.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's why the Gemara says nasal of gazel. Look at the last Rashi. Avadi has to give back, but until he has to give it back, where something to go and happen to this pikadoin? What happens if it's stolen? If it gets lost? If there's a fire? If somebody steals it? If it's an animal? If it dies, etc. He's chayiv alamini onsim until he returns it. Avadi has a chiv to return. Betona too. Now we learned in a brisa. The chichishba. Is in the parsha of the din of Hashem Gzeilois, that if a person stole and he made a shvua and he was makish, he said it's not true, and afterwards he's moidim mismad, he has to go and give back the keren, the choymish, and bring a korm osha. So b'chichish ba, state in the braisa, lamadnu oynish, b'chichish ba, and the pasuk continues on, what do you have to do? Beish is a gzeila, and you have to go and bring your korm. Okay. How do I know that a person who is not allowed to be matchish, ein onchin elim kein masirin, we have to have that horror somewhere. Tamaloimer loisechachashu. Oh, a pasuk loitignoivu loisechachashu loisechakru ish bamisoi. The person that's matchish, he denies truth. He's over loisechachashu, and now he has the oynish. What's the oynish? Oynish is like it says in the parsha of the Hashem Gezelois, that he has to go and if he made a false shvur, that he have to give the keren, the choymish, and bring Hashem gzeilos. Now in this case he didn't make a shvur. Rav Sheshes is talking about without a shvur. I'm trying to bring a raya from this brisa to Rav Sheshes' halach. So it says over here, lemanu oynish. We see from the parish of Chichishba, he has to go and give back the gzeila under all circumstances. I have the oynish. How do I have the asara for the chachashu? Now that's so far the end of the brisa for our purposes. We're going to continue the brisa in another moment, but the Gemara is now medayik. When it says in the brisa lamanu oynish, my love l'oynish mamon, isn't he talking about in the brisa that since this person went and denied the chichishba, he was makish, for instance, in a pikadoin, he gets the oynish. What oynish would he have? He wouldn't have to bring Hashem gzeilois, he didn't make a shvur, but there's an oynish mamon. The oynish moment is that from now on he becomes a full-fledged gazlan, and no matter what
happens to this mikdon, he has to go and pay the full amount of the karen. And therefore, I have a right to meet Rav Sheshes, because the Nassel of Gazlan and Chaybon. No. That's not what the price means. The price is talking the parish of Hashem Gzeil. That says in the Torah, B'chichish Bo, what happens if this person makes a Shavua, and after that he's Moidim Misvada, he has to go and pay the Karen with the Chaymish and bring Hashem Gzeil. And that's the Oynish that he's referring to. And therefore, there's nothing to do with your halacha Rav Sheshes and versus Kovim Bikodai without making a Shavua. So Timur, don't tell me that. Let's continue on. I mean, Tony Seif, we stopped in the middle of the Braisa. The Braisa continues on. What happens? The Ishtava. That what? Not only was the Chichishba, but he also he made a Shmua to strengthen his Akhasha. What's that locha? Shteit Vait in the Torah that there is an Oynish, like the Gemara is going to say. So since the Seif is in Machal the Resha, the Lo Ishtava. It must be that the Reish is talking about without a Shavua. Diktoni Sefer. Now let's say the Sefer in it's fulsome. That what happens? The Nishba al Sheker, not only the Chichishba, but he also makes a Shavua. Lamadu Oynish. The trader says the Oynish. The Oynish is he has to go and bring the Asham Gzeilus. He has to pay Choymish. Asorah Minayin. Why do I know the Asorah in this case where he made a full Shavua? Tamaloy Minoy Seshakru. That's the same Pasuk as before. Shade Pasuk. Loy Tignoivu. That's the shakru. And therefore I see both in the Reisha and in the Sefer that there is this Oynish. Now when he says Oynish, he certainly doesn't mean to give back the Karen. It doesn't belong to him. That's not an Oynish. So what does the Oynish mean? The way Rav Sheshes interprets the first part of the Braisa, the Oynish is that he now has the status of a Gazlan. Even though he didn't steal it, he got a behetzer. He was a shoymer. But the fact that he was kichishba, he was koifer, that now upgrades him from a simple shoymer chidim, makes him now into a gazlan. Gazlan is chai ba'onsin, and therefore, habacharai says Rav Sheshes to me from the first part of this price. And don't tell me the first part of the price is talking about an oynish, meaning the sham gzeilois, based on a full shvur. Because the same is talking about the full shvur. So the first part of the braisa must be talking about without a shvur. But the same is talking about the everyone, no. Both the Rishon and the Sefer talking about it is Ishtaba. And therefore, Rav Sheshes, you have no right in your case of non-Shvua. Aye, so what's the difference between the Rishon and the Sefer? Kancha hoida, kancha bo, Edim. The difference between if afterwards he was moida on his own, or if Edim came subsequently. Also, Edim, the first part of the Braisa, which is talking about that he made a Shvua, subsequently Edim came, and therefore Chayib, the Onsim, he has to go and have on sin, like you said, that he's a gazlan, but only because there was a shvua, he becomes a full-fledged gazlan. Chayv ons. What happens, however, if he was moida on his own? That's the parsha of Asham Zeilois. Then chayv not only in the Karen, but he has to pay the choymish and the asher. But because, according to the Gemara's Teretz, the Brice is talking about both in the Reisha and the Sefer met Ashvua, you have no right to Rav Sheshes, because Rav Sheshes is talking about a Kovim Bikodin without a Shavua. So therefore we have no raya. To be continued tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Everybody say, Kovim.